This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My beloved brothers, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for coming here today and bless us and forgive us for all our shortcomings and grant that whatever He said is with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we continue with our series on the major sins in Islam. And Alhamdulillah, as you all have known or must know by now, if you've attended the lectures of the past couple of weeks, and we are going through a list of the major sins. And we said that we don't have a definitive list what exactly the major sins are. So inshallah, we'll mention those sins which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith as being definitely amongst the major sins. And why we talk about these sins is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the sin, there's hope for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, if you avoid the great sins, you avoid the big sins, which Allah has forbidden you to do, Allah, we shall remit from you your minor sins and admit you into Jannah. So we are guaranteed. Stay away from these 10, 20, 70 sins. As I said, there's no definitive list, unfortunately. Our iman and the scholars, inshallah, will guide us towards this. But if we avoid these major sins, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from doing, inshallah, the minor things that we do daily, that we can't avoid, or we struggle to avoid, and our shortcomings will all be forgiven, and inshallah, Jannah will be for us. So as I mentioned, we don't have a list of all the major sins. There's no hadith or ayah in the Quran, but we can put some ayat and ahadith together, and we've come up with a list of 9 sins, which from the evidence is clearly amongst the major big sins that we need to specifically avoid. We have discussed 5 sins thus far over the past few weeks, and we're on topic 5 with regards to slander. And this sin is mentioned in the hadith when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about, he says, stay away from the 7 deadly or destructive sins. There are 7 sins which are the destroyers. And the Sahaba asked, what are those sins? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a list of them, including shirk, including zina, including the practice of magic, which we'll talk, including riba. And he ended off by saying, to accuse someone of adultery, to accuse someone of zina, who never even thought of anything that would tarnish their chastity and are good believers. So to slander someone is of a major, major sin. Specifically with regards to zina, to accuse someone of zina when they themselves had never ever done that, then it is a major, major sin. Zina is a major sin, but equally to accuse someone of zina is a major sin in Islam. So we're discussing slander last week, and we continue with this topic. Last week we mentioned how severe the sin of slander is and how major it is in the sight of Allah to accuse someone of zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses powerful words when He describes those who accuse others of zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and from this ayah we see that it is a major sin, number one, and a big distinction between minor and major sin. Minor sins get forgiven, and we'll talk about forgiveness inshallah at the end of the series. But minor sins get forgiven by coming to the masjid, making istighfar regularly. But a major sin, you need to make a special kind of tawbah. A major sin is severe. And we said they are amongst the sects, not from Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that deemed a major sin as an act of kufr. You're no longer a Muslim. So a severe issue to fall into a major sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of those who slander, and He mentions that they are cursed in the dunya and in the akhirah. Specifically in an ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are cursed in the dunya and they are cursed in the akhirah. Cursed meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of them and has no obligation to them to be merciful upon them. Another punishment for the one who slanders is that he's lashed 80 times in the dunya. A specific punishment for the slanderer in the dunya. 80 lashes. If he comes with 3 witnesses saying, we all saw this man or woman committing zina, but they don't come with 4 witnesses, then they are accused and charged of slander and they'll be lashed 80 times. And Allah says, never ever accept their testimony again. The man wants to be a witness. The man wants to say, I saw the moon. He wants to be a witness in a case or for a nikah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't accept their testimony unless they repent and have reformed themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also calls them in the Quran that they are the liars. You are labeled with that title. In Allah's eyes, you are a liar. And there are many implications of that. So So like the scholars of hadith, they won't accept a hadith from you. They won't accept a hadith, a chain of narrators. This hadith is weak because there's a liar in that chain. Why? He slandered somebody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the hadith, we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned people being punished in the grave, specifically out of slander, and even less than slander, which we'll talk about today. On Qiyamah, the slanderer, the one who spoke ill of others, was, as we mentioned, the bankrupt person who gives all of his good deeds away because of what he said to others, and he incurs the sins of those that he slandered. So punishment in the dunya, punishment in the grave, punishment on Qiyamah, and Allah mentions in the Quran, and for them is a severe punishment in Jahannam. We don't know what that punishment is specifically, but Allah says it's severe. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's severe, iyadu billah, what we inshallah will never ever come to know that punishment. And we know why this is such a serious sin, because it destroys a person's reputation, his honor and his name. It ruins his livelihood, it ruins his family life, his position, and it's something that can never ever be healed. The shadow of doubt, that shadow, that tarnish on his name will remain for how long? A man, he was accused of zina. That man, he did that. That woman did that. For years, they live with that tarnish. We know many of us who went to school, someone made a sin, slipped into something. Till today, even if we are grey, we still remember, ah, that is that person who did that and that. This is human nature. That is why you accuse someone of it. He didn't even do it, but for the rest of his life, he bears the burden of that accusation. And we said, the worst form of slander is to accuse someone of committing zina. But there are other forms of slander, and there are other forms of ill speech, lesser than slander, but equally severe in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we will discuss today. And important to note here, the ulama have even gone to the extent where they say that simply calling a man by a certain nickname or a woman by a certain nickname, oh, that girl, she's very loose or she's very easy. Or that guy, he's a, he's a bunny, for example. Right? What do you mean by that? If the ulama have stipulated and cases have come throughout the history of Islam that for these kind of jokes or these kind of titles or nicknames, they are brought to court for slander. You're accusing a person of committing zina. A person that has, you've mentioned that he falls into zina, so they investigate. And if you said, I didn't mean it like that, but it comes out that that's what your what was understood by your wording, the punishment of slander will be practiced on you. And that is in the dunya, wa'iyadu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counts you as a slanderer in the sight of Allah. May Allah protect us. We also mentioned last week, and this is unfortunately a sin that so many people fall into, and we know the big debates between certain Muslim groups. We don't go into that, but the slander of Sahaba. We look now 1,400 years in the past and we say, this Sahabi made a mistake there, and this one said that, and that one was wrong for doing this. We don't know. We want there to know the facts, number one. Number two, if you're going to mention, you want to pass judgment on a Sahabi, you weigh his sin, weigh the good deeds he did, weigh the Battle of Badr on his scale, weigh the torture he experienced in Makkah, weigh the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his scale, then pass judgment. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, with regards to Sahaba, this is for all of us, if there's no need for you to ever speak ill of a Sahabi. We say we don't speak ill of the dead. Even if he was a bad man, we don't speak ill of the dead. Let alone Sahaba who are mentioned in the Quran, where Allah says, radiyallahu anhum wa radiyallahu anhum. Allah is pleased with them. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us, he says, do not curse my companions. Do not curse my companions. I swear by Allah that if you were to spend a mountain of Uhud, the weight of Mount Uhud in charity, the weight of Mount Uhud in gold in charity, you know, you spend so much of charity, you won't even come to a hand span or even half of the quality of the Sahaba, what they gave for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if they made mistakes, they were human. It is not for us, not befitting for us to speak ill of them. This is the aqidah of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We love them, we respect them. Whatever happened between them of differences of agreement is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us when we speak of Sahaba, we make this dua. We make this dua. As for those who came after them, we say, our Lord, have mercy on our brothers who preceded us in belief, and put not in our hearts ghil, any hatred towards those who believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, make dua that you have no hatred to those of the companions who came before you and the generations before you. Our Lord, surely you are all gentle and all compassionate. So we talk, inshallah, we move on from the slander of causing someone, calling in zina. But words that we take as small, mighty in the eyes of Allah, that might count as a major sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Or the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a man may say a word that angers Allah. You say something passingly, make a joke, make a comment. You don't even remember what you said, but it brings about Allah's anger, not realizing how far that word will go. And because of that word, he will be thrown into Jahannam that is so deep, the distance between the heavens and the earth. One word, one word. And interestingly in Islam, one word enters you into Islam. La ilaha illallah, you enter into Islam. One word, one statement guarantees Jannah. One statement takes you out of Islam. One statement you say, qabiltu, you accept in nikah, that marriage is binding for the rest of your life. One word, talaq, and your marriage is broken. In Islam, words count heavily in the sight of Allah and in the Sharia, which we take maybe too easily. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions about those who make jokes with regards to the deen. And this is something, and I selected things which I feel are prevalent in our community, where we speak things without thinking, unintentionally, not intentionally, but we mention things and we take it as light. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala takes it severe. It so happened, and Surah Tawbah mentions this, that a group from the munafiqs, a group of the hypocrites, were with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on jihad. And the hypocrisy, they couldn't hide it, so they started making fun of the deen and making fun of the Sahaba. You know, sometimes, maybe to give you an example, you find someone on a team, maybe we're playing cricket or something, and you find that person, he has some attitude and you can see he doesn't have the best interest of the team at hand. You'll always make comments about the captain, make comments about how we are a last team or we are a bad team. Right, so these people were making these kind of comments about Sahaba, about the Muslims. And one of them stood up and said, this is haram what you are doing. I'm going to tell the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Before he reached the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala revealed ayat concerning these people, saying that they are hypocrites and what they have done is not only a major sin, but it's an act of kufr. They are no longer Muslims. No longer Muslims for making jokes. And they came crying to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when they heard the ayah. And Allah says, and if you ask them, what will they say? They will surely say, we were only conversing and playing, making jokes, Ya Rasulullah. We were making fun. How can we be kafir for making fun? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, listen to the words. Is it Allah and His ayat and His Rasul that you are making jokes about? Are these things to make jokes about? Is Allah and His ayat and His Rasul? Make no excuse. I don't accept your excuses. You have become kafir. You have disbelieved after you believe. I have declared that you are kafir. These are the words of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, out of His mercy, says, if we pardon one group of you, inshallah, we will pardon one party of you, but the others, the most severe of you, will punish another faction because they were criminals. Jokes, Jamaat Muslimin, don't bring religion into it. Don't bring Quran into our jokes. Don't make deeny jokes. Rather make jokes about other things, you know? Don't make jokes with regards to Allah and the Quran and the deen and this and that. Islamic matters are serious matters. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is most serious when it comes to His deen and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and His Quran. Other matters which we take lightly, a word may cause us to exit Islam. Today, many of us, and we see this again, a sad case, and the ulama perhaps are even the most guilty of this. We find Muslims arguing about a certain topic, a certain mas'ala, a certain fatwa, a certain group, I am this group, you are that group, you are such and such a person. And how quickly before we hear the word kafir, no, but they are kafir, and he's a kafir, and they are kuffar, and we don't follow that sheikh, he's a kafir. It's a word we take lightly. We want to put a label and say they are deviant, or they are the ahlu bid'ah, and they are the ones in Jahannam, and they are acts of kufr. Serious implications. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that when two Muslims, one calls the other one kafir, then one of them is a kafir. Either that person he accuses of being kafir is a genuine kafir, then of course he's a kafir. Or if that person isn't a kafir, it comes back on you. Today, what we see, we ask, how is it that in Syria, or how is it in Iraq, or in Afghanistan, or throughout the Muslim world, Muslims bombing Muslims? A man goes into a shopping mall, and he blows up the women and children, and he blows up a hospital and a school. How can, and he says, I'm doing it in the name of Islam. How? He says, no, these people are kuffar. These are kafirs that I'm killing. They're not Muslims. They support the government. And what did he do to be kafir? And he makes very light things. No, they weren't dressed correctly. Or they take Western education like in Nigeria. Because they learn Western education, it's an act of kufr. So we kill their children and we kill everyone. This act of takfir is a curse that we have upon us. Subhanallah, this is something which only the most learned of judges must pass a judgment. This man is kafir now. And his marriage is now annulled. You can't inherit from him. You can't be buried amongst us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew the names of the hypocrites in Medina. He knew who they were. He never openly and said, this is the munafiqs, one by one by one. Why? Nabi Sallam doesn't judge what's in the heart. What's in the heart belongs to Allah. We judge on the outward appearance. If the man says, La ilaha illallah, we accept you part of Islam. What you do of wrong, we say, this statement you are making is a dangerous statement. The most extreme you can go to is saying, brother, this is what you're doing here, making sujood to a qabr, making dua to a dead person. Brother, this might be an act of kufr. Might be. Be wary of this, brother. That's all we say. You curse the Sahaba. We say, yeah, you know, this ayat which speaks about this, it can be an act of kufr. That's as far as we go. But the labeling of and takfir, stay away, Jamaatul Muslim. You will not be rewarded on Qiyamah. Allah will say, how many, mashallah, people did you make kafir? I give you a reward of Jannah. How many people did you bring into Islam? That is the reward. Something which we may say, slander is a severe sin, yes. But how many of us, we say, yeah, but we never accuse someone of committing zina, man. Okay, we might speak ill of one another, but that's not slander. That's not what we take as slander in this context. What we speak about one another. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, do you know what is backbiting, right? And the companion said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. And Rasulullah said, backbiting any time is when you talk about a brother, you talk about somebody in a manner which he wouldn't like. You say something about him, if he heard it, he would feel bad about it. He wouldn't like it. It's big or small. So one Sahabi said, but okay, what if we're telling the truth? What if we say, you know, Muhammad is fat. But he really is fat, right? Nabi Sallallahu said, if that what you're saying is true, then it's backbiting. But if what you're saying is a lie, then it is slander. So even if it's the truth, and you say something that he doesn't like, mention a name of his, mention, you know, Muhammad did this and that at work today, and it didn't, you know, he wouldn't like hearing that, that's backbiting. But if you lied about him doing that, then it's slander. Then we talk about this major sin. Nabi Sallam calls it slander as well. How many of us, wa'iyadhu billah, we need to watch, have we fallen into that? We make tawbah, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is vast and beyond our comprehension. Allah forgive us for the small words we say, mighty in the sight of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continues that says that a person, the believer, is not a slanderer or is one that curses a lot, he swears at people and he uses foul language, or who indulges in obscenity or engages in foul talk. So if you look at this and say, how many times do I sit in companies, I swear, or I insult people, I argue with people all the time, or I slander people? Nabi Sallam saying there is a deficiency in your iman. Your iman is incomplete. There's a problem inside. You have to reflect. And this is between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sallam goes on and says that cursing a believer, to insult him and swear at him and curse him today, we curse publicly. We curse on Facebook that millions of people can see. How much more sin? This is the time when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, between two companions, maybe they're cursing one another, or they swear at one another out of anger. Yeah, millions of people can see. On the radio, we mention his name, millions of people can hear. Cursing him is like murdering him. Ayyadu billah. This is in the sight of Allah. Another thing to bear in mind, not only is your iman deficient, according to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it is a sign of hypocrisy. That it is of the traits of a munafiq. Like we know, there are levels of iman. The believer and the prophets are not the same in iman. There are levels. There are levels of kufr. There are also levels of nifaq, levels of hypocrisy. One may be a believer, but have some elements of hypocrisy in him. Another person may be a munafiq completely. What are the signs that he's a munafiq? Nabi Sallam says, there are four qualities. If a person has one of these four qualities, then he has traits of the munafiqs. But if he has all these four qualities in him, then it's as if though he's a complete munafiq. What are these four qualities? Again, all to do with the tongue. The one, when he speaks, he lies. You can't trust him. Every second word that comes out of his mouth is a lie. When he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. When he argues, he becomes rude and violent and he transgresses. And when he makes an agreement, he violates an agreement. These are the signs of a munafiq. Again, it's for us to look at this hadith and say to ourselves, do I fit any of these? Am I known for lying? Am I known for swaying and hurting people with my speech? Am I known for breaking my promise and my trust? May inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we speak about all the wrongs. We say, ya Allah, how do I get better? How do I remove and safeguard myself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us beautiful advice. We follow this advice in our daily life, beautiful akhlaq will come from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've taken ayat from Surah Hujarat and Surah Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, Surah Nur of one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, oh you who have believed, oh believers, if, number one, now, how many times we have there's a fitna, meaning a disturbance in the community. Oh, do you hear so-and-so did that? Or so-and-so got fired? Or so-and-so, there's a child, we don't know who this child is. Is it zina? Money is missing. Right? We don't know the details, but the information goes, everyone knows the story, but no one knows the details. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you find yourself in such a situation, you may not want it, but someone comes knock on your door and the information reaches you. Allah says, oh, you who have believed. If there comes to you a disobedient one, a fasiq, with information, and also even if a good person comes to you with information, investigate it. Before you act, investigate the details. Who told you this information? Were you there? Did you see it? Go to that man and ask him. Investigate, lest otherwise you harm a people out of ignorance. You will take action against somebody who was innocent. Or you spread that kalam and that man is innocent and he has a claim against you on Qiyamah, a liability with Allah on Qiyamah. Lest you hurt someone out of ignorance and over what you have done, you become regretful. Now, after you see what you caused and hurt this man, you can't take it back. It's like that story of that mufti, you know, or this story of the salaf. He tells a man comes, ya sheikh, I always speak ill of people, I backbite, I fitna. What must I do? The man, the sheikh, give him here's a bag of feathers. Whenever you speak ill of someone, throw a feather out of the bag. And when if you can last a week with the feathers intact, come back to me. So after a while, the man struggles, but eventually he disciplines himself. And then he says, he comes back to the sheikh and he says, here's the bag of feathers. I had to throw a few feathers out, but alhamdulillah, I've been able to protect it. Man says, very good, but now I want you to go and collect all the feathers you threw out of the bag. He says, how am I supposed to go and find that feather blew from here to there to there? The sheikh says, similarly, the lies and the evil you spoke, it travels like you don't know where. You can never ever take it back. You don't know who and reach that information and how the implications of that. Better to stay away. So Allah says, if any information comes to you, investigate it first before you draw conclusions. Allah goes on and He says in this beautiful series of ayat, O you who have believed, again Allah speaking to us, let not a people insult another people. Let not the whites insult the blacks, or the Indians insult the Malays, or the rich insult the poor, or this family insult this family, or one group insult another group. Let not one group of people ridicule, belittle another group of people. Perhaps why? They may be better than them. That these people you are insulting are of the awliya. But simply because he's which suburb he comes from, or the color of his skin, you think he's less than you. Subhanallah, he's superior than you in the sight of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interestingly repeats the instruction, nor let women, a group of women, insult another group of women. Why women specifically? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our instinct. He knows that this is perhaps a sin more inclined by women, that this is something which the women themselves need to look at more closely than the men, that they are more guilty of this. In other ayat, it goes the other way. That's why in slander, Allah says, if you accuse a believing woman of zina, what about the men? You can accuse the men of zina? No, because it's worse for a woman. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to what is most common. Right? So let not women ridicule other women. Perhaps they may be better than them. And do not insult one another. And don't insult and tease one another. And do not call each other by offensive nicknames. Again, a very common thing in South Africa, in Cape Town, we find everyone has a nickname. You have a name and you have a nickname. Sometimes one small thing you did in your childhood, for the rest of your life you have that nickname. If it's a bad nickname, an ugly nickname, the person doesn't like it, don't call it. It's a command in the Quran that Allah says, not a hadith. Allah says, don't give each other bad nicknames. Wretched is the name of disobedience after one has faith. The man's name is Abdullah, but you call him ugly or something. Right, subhanallah. His name is the slave of Allah, but you give him this name instead. So Allah is advising you how to protect yourself. Don't give nicknames. And whoever does not repent for what you have done, what we have made of sin, then it is those who are the wrongdoers. Make tawbah, ya Allah. Forgive us what we have said without knowing. Allah continues and says, oh, you have believed. Avoid much assumption. Not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, when information comes to you, before you act, investigate, don't even make assumptions. Don't even in your mind start putting two and two together. You know, I actually did lend that man money. He never gave me back that 5 rand. Maybe he's a thief. You know that girl, I did see her. She wasn't, I thought it was her in the mall that day. Or now the mind starts to fill in the blanks and you make your own judgments and conclusions. Allah says, avoid assumptions. Avoid negative assumptions. Indeed, some of assumption is sin. out of Allah's mercy, Allah does not punish us for what goes in our minds, but Allah says some assumption may lead to sin. And do not spy or backbite on each other. Don't try to fish out in a hadith. Don't try to look for ways and finding the secrets of others. A person who does this, Nabi Sim promises him, in the dunya, his secrets will be made public. Don't try to find out and catch people and look for evidence against them to make them look bad in the dunya, because this will be done to you in the dunya and in the akhirah. And then Allah says, would you like to eat the flesh of your brother that is dead? It is like eating someone's dead meat. You would hate that. And fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is accepting of repentance and mercy. Allah continues in Surah Nur. Why? This is referring to the ifk of Aisha, when the slander of Aisha, but applies to us. When we hear evil information, we hear, subhanAllah, you saw Muhammad, he's, you know, accused of this, he's accused of that, he stole money, or, you know, he committed, wa'iyadu billah, all these sins we can think of. Why, when you heard it, Allah asks you, did not the believing men and women think good of one another? Why wasn't our first assumption to say, no man, this can't be true, I refuse to believe it is true, that this, I know he's a good man. This, what you are saying, must be a lie. There must be an explanation to solve this. This is an obvious falsehood. Why doesn't the believer say this? When you received it with your tongues, this bad information, and you said with your mouths, you sort of gave more of it over, that of which you had no, and you had no knowledge. You told the neighbor next door, the man in the masjid, you know, so-and-so did that, so-and-so was caught doing this. Did you see it? Did you hear it? How do you know? I don't know, but I heard from another man. You don't know the true facts, but you give it over, that of which you had no knowledge, and thought it was insignificant. You thought, ah, it's a small thing. But in the sight of Allah, it is huge, it is tremendous. And why, when you heard it, did you not say, it is not for us to speak of this? A brother comes to you and he speaks ill of another man. He says, brother, maaf man, don't maaf to cut you short, but it's not for us to talk like this. We don't speak about people like this. Subhanallah, this is a great insult you are doing, a great slander. And then Allah ends off, alhamdulillah, always with mercy. Allah warns you against returning to the likes this ever, if you should be believers. And Allah makes clear to you the verses, and Allah is knowing and wise. Allah gives you this advice so that you may protect yourself in the dunya and in the akhirah. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us, for we speak so much, yet, and how much do we weigh what we say? May Allah forgive us out of the little things that we say that is huge in the sight of Allah. Grant us mercy and His forgiveness. Next week, inshallah, we'll continue with our sixth sin on the list, which is sorcery and black magic and all these kind of evil acts of sihr, sorcery and magic, inshallah. We remind the jama'ah once again about the classes in the masjid. Please, we hope to see this masjid so full every class. We hope so that on Mondays from 7 till 8 o'clock, Maghrib is in the middle, we discuss the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beautiful life of our beloved Nabi. Please attend from 7 to 8 on a Monday. On Tuesday, we have our marriage classes with Sheikh Nasir Barnes after 8 o'clock. And on Wednesday, very excitingly, after Maghrib, we have our astronomy class with Professor of Stellenbosch University, Professor Ridwan Khalant. Please, inshallah, we hope that you attend. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam 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 wa sall